art. Who put this together? You're autistic.
It is artistic, sir, because the thing is, the yarn actually...
What's up, everybody? Throwing you for a loop, coming at you on Friday with Partial Artist, but I'm back with a new segment, and it's all about horror movies, dude. It's Friday, it's horror movie time. I love horror movies, and I've been wanting to do something with it for a while now, and I just haven't, so I decided to pull the trigger on this and start talking about horror movies. So basically, I will talk about shit you should watch, I will break down the plot of it, and then talk about all the ratings, everything that came out, good, bad, and the ugly movies, too. And not the series Good, Bad, and the Ugly. That would be a very short podcast. I'm talking about good horror movies, bad horror movies, ridiculous horror movies. They're all going to be covered. So I can't wait to talk about them. I have a few horror podcasts that I've listened to in the past, and I enjoy them. And I took a little bit of things from them. I took a little bit of things from other things I've seen. And I try to make my own thing. So if you like horror movies, this is where to be on Fridays, man. So the first movie we're going to talk about is a movie I checked out last night for the very first time, and it caught me off guard. I'd never heard of it, and it caught me slipping, and it is Girl on the Third Floor. Now, the thing about Girl on the Third Floor is it stars CM Punk or Phil Brooks, and that's his first time on film. He did some acting on a show called Marin, but other than that, his first time on film was with this, and I know he's a big horror movie fan, like way bigger than me. He knows all kinds of, I mean, I love B-movies and old horror and classic horror, but he'll deep dive with you. And I'd love to have him on the show to talk about horror movies. That would be fucking awesome. Could you imagine if I got that big, I could interview CM Punk and talk about horror movies? That'd be fucking nuts. But anyway, so I've always liked CM Punk. I grew up a punk kid, listening to punk music, straight edge. And I didn't like wrestling, but I liked him. And not necessarily because he was straight edge. That's what got me into knowing who he was. But when I saw his documentary, Best in the World, and I saw his work ethic, he's a very hardworking dude and very like, fuck you, I'm going to do what I want. And that's how I am. I'm very, fuck you, I know what I want to do, I'm going to do it my way and nobody else's way, and if you try to stop me, I'm going to still do it anyway. And that's how you get kneed in the face and have to get your eye reconstructed fighting a large Asian man. That happens. Sometimes people try to give you good advice and help you out, and you go, fuck you, I'm going to do what I want to do. And they go, hey, we can pay for your college, and you'll make a six-figure living. And you go, nah, fuck you. And then look at me now, dude. I'm sitting in a recliner talking about CM Punk, talking about horror movies. So you tell me who fucking won, huh? Yeah, I only make $27,000 a year. What's good, baby? At least I got my podcast, so suck on that. But Girl on the Third Floor, CM Punk, his first movie. And this is also a debuting director in Travis Stevens. He's a producer for a while. And this is his first shot at a movie. Now, I will break down, I will give you like the plot summary of the movie. So that way you can, I will give you the ratings, the reviews, and all that beforehand. And then if you want to stop it right there, I'll give you a moment where you can stop it. You can go watch it yourself if you've got the interest. If you'd like to just continue listening on or you've seen the movie, then by all means, just keep on fucking rolling. So, Girl on the Third Floor, I'm just going to read it straight off Wiki, dude. Is a horror movie film directed by Travis Stevens, written by Stevens, Paul Johnstone, and Ben Parker, and starring CM Punk. The film tells the story of a deeply flawed man who renovates an old home for himself and his wife, and the supernatural events that ensue as they prepare to move in. So that is a quick, quick summary of that movie. And this vibe, if you liked the movie Mother, it had a very Mother vibe. It had that same kind of feel to it. That unnerving feel where you're in this house and you're with someone, but you're almost alone. You almost feel alone in the house with them, and you're trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. There's something off from the beginning. The cinematography is beautiful. And the best part about this movie, which I think is the number one focal point, is the effects. They are 100% real effects. They're not CGI. I know they did a couple CGI covers, and they used CGI the right way. Like, there's a lot of movies where they just blast it, you know, especially if you look at, like, Transformer movies and stuff like that, it's all the time. But I love in horror movie, in action movies, it's one thing, but in horror movies, I'm a really big practical effects guy, And there's times where CGI is really cool, but whenever you know how to layer just CGI, like CGI right over 100% practical, it looks so fucking good. And I will say the effects in this movie were top fucking notch fantastic. It was truly amazing. If you like effects and trippy stuff, dude, it was like Mother with really good effects. I enjoyed it. So if you liked Mother, I would really suggest checking this movie out. I'll take a look at some of the reviews here. So 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, 22% audience score. You can never fucking trust Rotten Tomatoes simply because they put It Follows at 99%. And if I might have to make an episode about that movie, because that movie deserves about 7%. I fucking hated that movie and everyone loved it. 99% for It Follows? No, they're automatically gone. Let's take a look at some fan reviews and other page reviews here. That's related movies. Is that related movies? Okay, dude, I thought that was fucking... Okay, so related movies. I thought maybe this was a review article, but it's just called Dead Pigs, got 95%. Baby Dunn got 92%. PG Psycho Gorman got 88%. What the fuck is Baby Dunn? Sounds like you cooked a baby in an oven. That might be a future movie to watch, guys. Baby Dunn. What the fuck? That is a baby. Let's see. Does it got a plot of this bitch? This looks fucking creepy. Okay, so they're going to try to live their wildest dreams before they have a kid. Okay, that's not what I thought it was going to be. Sorry, just got super off track there. I do not have any budget numbers or anything like that, but it did review at South by Southwest, the Buff, and the London Fright Fest on October 25th, 2019. Largely positive reviews. And I will say, so I went in, I like Phil Brooks, and I was worried. I tried to make myself erase him in my head. I was like, I don't want to go in biased, liking it simply because it's him. But I also don't want to go in thinking, oh man, this isn't going to be very good. Because we've seen when people try to do crossovers to certain movies, their acting's not very good. Or it's just campy and cheesy. And you're like, oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. So I try to just have a clean slate with it. I was like, I don't want to go in loving it. I don't want to go in skeptical. And I'll be honest, I was probably a little more of the skeptical. I was thinking, I bet this is going to be a little like a cheesy, and I love B movies, but I feel like this is going to be one of those that comes out like it's supposed to be really good and it's just super cheesy and over the top, which it was not, man. It was really good. Some notes from the director. He said the house was in Frankfort, Illinois, and it was actually owned by the production company. And he said that this might be just to fluff up the piece, but he said the backstory of the movie was pretty real, pretty close to real, and he only slightly embellished it. So I don't know. That could be a little more. I don't know, fluff for the movie, but critical reception overall, dude. It was a great movie. CM Punk, Phil Brooks' performance. He played that role great. It's almost in a sense like a Jack Torrance character from The Shining, where you see him just slowly start slipping, and it was kind of like that. He was very stoic, very stone, but you could see from the... I like movies that start up from the very beginning, you know shit's fucked up. From the second that movie started, you're already in an unnerving feeling, and it did a really good job of that. Kind of like The Witch set up a good environment of you're already unnerved. That movie also, you're in that house and you're automatically unnerved by what's about to go on in this house. You don't know what it is. So they did the cinematography, the lighting, and the effects were fucking fantastic. So I strongly recommend it if you want some sort of psychological thriller type thing, not really understanding what's going on until the end, you start piecing it together. If you want that, like if you liked Mother, I'm telling you, it's very similar to that style. Go check out Girl on the Third Floor before I talk about the plot of this movie and break it down. So, yep, go and take a look. It is a 93-minute movie, so not too long. Not running too long for you. Where the fuck did I put it? I had all the plots. But here we go, dude. I'm going to go talk about the storyline. If you want to go watch it for yourself, check on out of here. If you want to stay, Let's fucking get into it, baby. The music, okay, let me read, I'm just going to read this real quick before I start. The music was by Steve Albini, Allison Chesley, Tim McLett, and Galleon Lee. Cinematography was by Scott Thiel. Okay, those people did fucking amazing. I just had to shout out their names because they deserve to be told how great their stuff was. Queensberry Pictures, that's who produced it, distributed by Dark Sky Films. I'm going to have to look up and see what other things they produced. But they deserve to have their name shout out in here, and that's where we're at. So here's the plot. So CM Punk, I should probably call him Phil Brooks. He's an actor now, so I apologize. So he's a dude named Don, and he's moving into Chicago, and he's, you find out later, but he's a criminal, and he's got this shady lawyer past. He did some horrible shit, and he's kind of moving out to the suburbs just to get away with him and his wife, who's pregnant, and their dog Cooper, who was a huge part of this fucking movie, and it will fuck you up. He is a solid piece and character in this film to where you fucking love Cooper by the end of this bitch. I mean, most people love dogs anyway, but you really do love Cooper. So he is moving into this house, and he's getting away from the suburbs, and he decides he's going to go in before his wife gets there and fix it up. It's an old-timey house, real rickety from the 1800s. He's going to have to fix it up. So that's his mission. He shows up, not a handyman, but he's going to become one and fix this house up for his pregnant wife. So he moves in. The movie starts when he walks in. As soon as he opens the door, it starts with him opening the door. It's just so eerie and creepy. You feel it in the fucking house that something's up. So already the vibe is good. I'm waiting to see CM Punk's, God damn it, Phil Brooks acting chops and see what he's actually bringing to the table. So you get there and you meet this crazy pastor bitch. And I'm not saying all religious people are crazy, but this one, she just is unnerving. Just like the house. You're looking at her, and you, when she starts talking, you immediately think she's in on it. I don't know what she's in on, but she's fucking in on it. That's what's happening. So she comes over, and she's talking to him about the house, saying that, you know, it's creepy, and, you know, not a lot of couples survive this house. So you're like, okay, that's the first time you hear that. Dawn goes to the bartender. And it's a really shitty bar, but he goes there. There's no one there. It's completely empty. It has a kind of cool bowling alley in it. And he hears about the house has passed. He hears something. The bartender asks him if he's gay. And he's like, no, I'm not gay. He's like, well, you should be, because this house fucks up straight dudes. Like, all straight dudes are getting fucked in this house. And he's like, okay. So now you're kind of already putting it in your head. Like, there's something to do. So this has got to be some sort of relationship metaphor, something like that. There's got to be something deeper than just the surface. So it gets to the home, time to start fucking cleaning this shit up. And here's where the practical effects come in, dude. There's like a bubbling, seeping black tar coming from, it's on the wall where he's trying to fucking paint. And so it's just bubbling up the wall. The fixtures have like this semen looking shit pouring out of it. So it looked like semen coming out the fixtures, this thing. And he's still invested in this house. He's like, I'm going to fix it up. I got to get away. Fuck that, dude. There's cum pouring out my... I got cum sockets. That's worse than being... You're not only going to get electrocuted. That's going to be the smell of burned fucking semen. That's the worst kind of day you can have, man. You got this black mold. And he just goes hand first in this black mold, which I was like... I get it was creepy and nasty looking, but dude, put on a glove. That dude just went bare fisted into this wall. Starts pulling out newspaper clippings. It's sludgy. It's fucking nasty. So, but he's still invested. He's like, I'm fixing this fucking place up. And while he is cleaning this house, he's got a soundtrack going in his head. And I'm going to see if I can figure out the bands that were in it, because it had a soundtrack unlike I've ever seen in a movie. And you could tell that it was mostly a fucking punk made movie, not like CM Punk made movie. But like the vibe of it, it was a lower production, dude, because it had nothing but hardcore music on it. It was straight hardcore. I wish I could find. Okay, so here's the music on it. Yeah, fucking. I can't even read these names. No, they don't even make sense. Music from Girl on the Third Floor. It was all just straight hardcore punk music. So you had 17 Arrow, 43, fucking XVI Standard, Line 52. What the fuck are these? It's like the... okay, so the fucking... The actual... That's even fucking cooler, dude. the music, the performers that I shouted out in the music, they just wrote all the songs. And they're fucking, I thought they were legit. I was sitting there listening to them trying to figure out, what fucking band is this? I've never heard this band before. And this is the first time I've looked it up. Turns out they all wrote the same shit. Maybe they're in their own fucking band. That's really cool, though, that they just decided to write their own shit. Dude, that's really fucking cool. I'm glad I looked that up. So, yeah, it's all hardcore music the entire time he's cleaning. So that was a really cool set. Every time I'd go run and work out and do whatever, it was always hardcore music. That's fucking, that's different. So there's this weird thing. So it's already fucking gross. Like, he's got this gross house. There's obviously got to be something going on here. So these marbles just start dropping from the ceiling and just rolling around. So he's got a marble just rolling around the house, and then his dog picks it up and eats it. Like, what the fuck? Okay, this is one of those strange movies. So he's out there chilling, and this chick, Sarah, shows up and starts talking to him. Is like, hey, can I come in and help? And blah, blah, blah. She's a very attractive girl. And she brings some weed. They go upstairs. They start smoking. And she takes him to the bedroom. Fucks him. So now you're already against this guy. You're like, God damn it, man. God damn it. You're doing the right thing for your wife. And you thought maybe. And he didn't even fight trying to curb this bitch at all. She was straight, was like, oh, let me come inside. He's like, okay. He's like, I got beer. He's like, okay. He's like, you want to get high? Yeah, sure. Do you want to fuck? 100%. Like, there was no sort of like, but I'm married. And you know what? I kind of like that aspect of the movie now that I'm talking about it, because that is realistic to some people. Like, it wasn't even a second thought that he's married. He didn't do a pushback or like, no, wait, can I? And kind of slowed it down before it happened. He went straight for it like a fucking slime ball, like his character's supposed to be. Dude, I respect that now. That's a good direction. I like that. So they fuck, right? And so she walks out the door after they fuck, and almost immediately in his bedroom, the ceiling collapses. She walks out the house. His dog looks at him and growls at him like, what the fuck, dude? Why'd you bang that nasty ass sliz? And as soon as he goes, what? I deserve this. Boom. Ceiling falls straight to the bed. Straight. The whole ceiling falls out. And it's like, what in the fuck is going on, dude? And so as you look up into where the ceiling fell from, you see this like balcony. There's like a balcony square around the entire bed. So you kind of, you can see that people would be looking down onto what's happening in the bed. It's a very sexual thing. And you're going to find out later that it's a whorehouse, but you can tell it's like an old timey whorehouse. Well, just from seeing that, the balcony, because that's where people would look down on people fucking on the bed. So that happens. And again, he's still into this house. He's like, hell yeah, I can't leave right now. I got to fix this house. Not only is there black sludge coming out the walls, my sockets are sperming all over the goddamn place. There are marbles keeping me up all fucking night. And my ceiling just collapsed onto my bed. We got to keep in this project because this is my life now. So Sarah comes back the next day and is like, hey, you want to fuck? And he goes, no, I'm sorry, I can't fuck. She leaves. But she leaves with like a vengeful thing. So you're like, ah, she's going to come back and fuck him up. So the next day, Don's coworker, Milo, he comes over and he's going to help fucking fix all this shit up, right? He's going to help patch the walls. They patch up the walls, do everything. And Milo ends up finding out that that Don has been fucking that Sarah chick. He finds out Don's having an affair because Sarah just straight walks in this house and is like, hey, what's going on? Let's fuck. And Milo's like, yo, bitch, you need to get the fuck out of here. Don's like, yo, you didn't see nothing, and gets so fucking mad at Milo. Milo's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now that I know this? You want me to be honest? It's a bro code. You're supposed to probably just eat that shit and move on with your day. Unless you are Sarah's friend. Or whatever I think his wife's name, Liz's friend. Unless you're Liz's friend. But even then, dude, you like that's not your... For me, it's not your business. Whatever. Doesn't matter. So Don tells Milo, yo, me and my dog are leaving. If you want to keep working on the house, come work on the house. I'm fucking out of this bitch. If I come back and you got a problem with me still, you need to be gone. She's like, okay. He goes for a run. Milo's working on the house and he hears some shit. And then he sees a marble rolling down. So there's another marble coming through. So this marble starts fucking rolling him down to the basement. So as he's going down, he's trying to look into the dark basement. And this was a really cool moment. So he walks down in the basement and he sees Sarah. And she uppercuts this motherfucker with a goddamn 6-pound sledgehammer. And she didn't smash down like you normally see. Like, whoop-bat, like, smash, smash, smash. Y'all remember that video? Dude, I gotta find that video. Because he did not do that. She did not do that. She hit him with a straight uppercut and hit him right above his orbital and dented his fucking head in. And it looked so badass, man. It looked so good. The effects were amazing. It made you fucking cringe. And the sound it made, it was very reminiscent of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Whenever, when the very first kill, whenever they walk in the door and he gets hit by Leatherface with the hammer and then slams the door shut, that brutality of that kill, it was eerily similar to that, dude. So similar. Let's see. Is this a smash, 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 dude? Let me turn the fucking ads down. Yeah, so he got smash, smash, smashed with that fucking hammer. And he starts crawling away and she kills that motherfucker. So he's dead. Let's see. So, dude, I gotta hear this now. Dude, I just need to hear the smash, smash, smash. Dude, that was fucking him. Right here. This is what she did, dude. Oh my god, they don't do the smash, smash part. Yep, smash, dude. He was trying to help her, dude. Dude, that's what happened to him. He got brutally smashed, smashed, smashed. And I know that we just had to wait 45 seconds for that joke to happen, and it's no longer funny. But that's okay. It made me laugh, and I wanted to do it. So Don comes back, and he's like, all right, Milo bounced because he's a bitch ass. So he moves on with his life. So he's FaceTiming his wife the next day with the clearest FaceTime quality I've ever seen in my goddamn life. I mean, I am jealous. I'm envious. He's got no Wi-Fi in that bitch yet, and he has crystal clear FaceTime. I don't know how he did it. I would love to know. So he's talking to his wife, and she sees Sarah in the background. And she's like, who the fuck was that? And he goes, I didn't see anybody. What are you talking about? So he goes looking around his house trying to fucking find it. He's like, you know what? This bitch is crazy. I'm going to put new locks and a security camera. So puts new locks, new security camera. Everything's good. You think he's going to watch it. But in your head, you're thinking she's probably like a demon bitch. So it doesn't even matter. But we'll see. So Cooper, the dog, who has been a crucial character this time, he's a good personality. That night, he is lured out with another marble. You hear a marble going, boom, there goes the dog chasing it. Well, you don't see Cooper again. So you're thinking, God damn it, Cooper's dead. You already know. He lures at night. When he wakes up in the morning, Phil Brooks goes, Cooper. No dog bark. You're like, yep, he's fucking dead. I wonder how, though. So as CM Punk is looking, you just hear this bang and just fucking poof, 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 over and over and over and over. And you're like, what is that fucking noise? So he goes walking through his house and you see the dryer shaking. And you immediately go, no, 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 no. He's not going to be in there. CM Punk is having the same realization where he's looking at the dryer going, fuck me, don't be in here. Please don't be in here. Please don't be in here. But he kind of probably knows. Opens it up. Sure as shit. Dead ass dog in the dryer. Brutally bloody killed, maimed. Fucking horrible. Calls the cops. The cops are like, well, we got the security video. We can't really help you at all because you were upstairs, didn't hear anything, there's no signs of forced entry, we can't help you, bye. Really horrible policing. If that would have happened in real life, dude, PETA and ASPCA and Whitney Cummings and everyone else on the planet would have been there. Because throwing a dog in a dryer, you could throw a baby in a dryer. Also, depending, if it's a white baby, it's going to get national news. You throw a black baby in a dryer, it's probably not going to get any news. You throw a dog in the dryer, the whole world stops. And, yeah, there's going to be a full investigation. And that wasn't a dig at any other race. That was a, remember that white girl fed on the well in the 80s? And everyone was like, holy shit, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, another race girl or kid could die, and people were like, which is horrible, and it shouldn't be that way, but it is. So that was the joke. So don't cancel me. So the dog's fucking dead. Don waits, and he just waits and waits and waits and waits. Like, he's not doing shit. And finally, Sarah rolls up. And so he is apologizing. He's like, look, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have lied to you. I shouldn't have led you on. Hey, I got a gift for you. It's in the kitchen. So she walks into the kitchen, and then, dude, he walks up. So you could already tell that he was kind of, like, luring this bitch over, you know? And he's like, I got a gift for you in the fucking kitchen. And then, dude, he was like this to her, dude. He fucking walked up to her and right in the back of the fucking head and kills that bitch too. So now that bitch is for sure at least dead off that hit. Brutal, again, brutal effects, brutal sounds. You're really into this movie. You don't even realize that it's Phil Brooks doing the acting. It's just like a whole thing. My upstairs neighbor, who is actually the girl on the third floor, is making insane noise above me right now. I hope I don't hear marbles rolling around, and I hope her name is not Sarah, or I'm going to die. She's going to seduce me, and then I'm going to die. And then I'm going to have to fucking smash, 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 dude. She's going to seduce me, and I'm going to smash, smash, smash. And then she's going to kill my friend, and then she's going to come to, and I'm going to apologize, and then I'm going to have to lead her into the kitchen and smash, smash, smash again, but with a hammer, dude. There's a lot of smash, smash, smashing going on, dude. That's what's going on. Smash, smash, smash. Okay. So back to the actual thing in the movie. So he smash, smash, smashes and decides to drag this bitch down to the basement. He's going to put her in the walls. Starts throwing lye and all kinds of shit on her to, you know, eat her up. So while he's doing it, he gets a phone call from his wife and decides to answer. Now, I told my wife, if I was ever in the middle of a murder, I would not answer the phone. I would let that one go to voicemail. Seems like a solid time. Let me handle the task at hand. Get this taken care of. Then I will go take care of the phone call. And again, he's in a basement. Fantastic phone quality. I don't know where he's getting it. It is beautiful. Also, he's in a black basement. She can't see his face. Great phone quality. Loved it. And this whole movie still has that whole eerie feeling of the house. You're like, oh, it's good aesthetics. The fuck is going on out there? So, he gets the call, he leaves, and when he comes back to the bitch, she's not there anymore, and you're like, yep, figured that. Figured she was not going to be there whenever he came back. So he goes looking through the house, because he's like, yo, dude, I smashed, smashed, smashed. She's not here, here, here. I'm fucked, fucked, fucked. So he finds this weird secret room in the attic, because now he's searching the whole house, and I guess he finally came across this room. And it's it's very eerie, you know, like, I don't know what those masks are called, but they got the Birdman beaks. They were, like, from the early 1900s, and it's, like, evil looking. It was in the Poughkeepsie tapes and stuff. And, so it's, like, these little girl drawings of this little girl with this Birdman figure, and you could tell, like, a little child lived there. So he goes searching through all the walls now, which I would have done in the first place, dude. There's a part where so at the beginning, he's searching through the black walls, and he finds, like, fucking newspaper, and then he fucking goes searching the rest of the house, and there's all these things going on with the walls. I would have already tore down all the sheetrock in this motherfucker day one. But, like, I'm keeping this house, I'm starting over, because I've found newspapers, there's semen coming out of my sockets, there's marbles rolling around all over the goddamn place. I am getting rid of my fucking sheetrock and starting over. So he goes and just starts knocking down walls. And now that he's just destroying these walls, he finds his buddy Milo's head in the wall. Pretty gross. Pretty freshly dead, too. So he finds him there. He's like, okay. And then as he's doing that, he turns around and he sees this really fucked up looking girl. Like, she's got, like, a split Gina head. It's weird. It's not like a actual, it's just gory and split and looks disgusting. And she's doing, like, this weird laugh, and it's tied up in, like, these sheets. It's very creepy. Chases him upstairs. And so he's got a marble following him. So this marble follows him and crawls up his skin. And now the practical effect of this was so fucking horrid and gruesome and disgusting. You just see this marble crawling up his skin, up his leg, just underneath the skin, and he gets a fucking razor and starts trying to cut the shit out, right? So he's trying to cut it out, and it keeps going up. And then whenever it fucking goes through his face, he cuts his throat to try to get it out, goes up through his face, pops out his eye. He's still alive. He didn't cut himself too deep. He starts crawling back like, what the fuck? And this bitch just throws 10 marbles on the ground. Fucked, right? So now those marbles attack him. He's gone. So you don't know what, you just know that he just got marble fucked. That's all you know. Those marbles fucking smash, 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 dude. So now he's eaten up by that. So you think he's for sure dead. I don't know what the fuck's going on yet. Why the fuck are these marbles still attacking this motherfucker? So his wife, Liz, she shows up. She's looking around and she's asking for Cooper, brings him food. Is yelling for Cooper the whole time. This was one part I was like, I don't understand. She's looking for Cooper and she's there for a couple hours. Never once like tries to call her husband because she's like, I want to surprise him. But dude, if I was there for like 5 hours and didn't see my husband, I'd give him a call. Doesn't even yell for him. Hardly looks through the house for him. Doesn't really give a shit. So she finds the house, sees how tore up it is. She goes looking through the big hole in the wall where that black shit was seeping through. And she grabs a newspaper article, finds out it was a brothel, and then a missing body. So Sarah, she rolls up into the house with the wife. So you're like, oh, this bitch. And you're like, that's crazy because I saw her get fucking obliterated with that hammer. She's fine. So she's definitely a demon. So Sarah rolls up and she's like, hey, I've been helping Dawn renovate the house. So now Liz is thinking, my husband's fucking somebody. And she's in a dress. So, fuck. She's like an old-timey dress. So, that means my husband probably fucked a demon. She's not thinking that because Sarah has no reason to be not real. But in your head, you're like, ah, he fucked a demon. So, the pastor bitch shows up to the house. She rings the doorbell. And she tells Liz the whole shebang about the house like she told her husband. She's like, yo, this house is really horrible for relationships. I've seen couples make it here. And I've seen them completely fall apart and crash and burn. So you need to know what you're getting into with this house. And she's very like giving all these cryptic things. And you're like, ah, this bitch has got to be in on it. So Liz, here's whatever this pastor bitch said, returns to her house and she gets visions. She has like these flashback visions when she goes to her bedroom. And she sees this. So she walks in her house and there's all these dudes in suits walking around. Very mother-esque, dude. Just like in Mother, where Mother's walking around and there's all these people walking to her house and there's all these random chaos going on. And you're thinking, why the fuck? And she's confused. That's what this bitch is having. That's what Liz is having. So she's walking around. She sees all these dudes in suits. And she realizes that this house has now turned into an old-timey brothel. And she sees like this young whore. I don't know the technical term for a person in a brothel back in 1890, but whore sounds probably what they would call them. And she's like, go upstairs for the show. So she goes up to the attic where there's a shitload of dudes up there in suits. And you can see the balcony where that bedroom had been. So Sarah is now walking into that room. So you're looking down on her through that balcony into the bed. So Sarah's in there. And this dude, very in shape, very symmetrical, I will say. He had some great obliques and a solid chest. And I am straight, but I'm telling you, I am more aesthetically strict on guys than I am women. I have sex with women, and I love women, and I love my wife. But aesthetically, I am very critical of men. I'm like, dude, if I was gay, I'd have the highest standards in the world. It's insane. My standards would be way too high. And this dude, he was in great shape. He's good old shape. Good, great symmetrical abs, solid obliques, round chest. Just had to throw that out there if there's any people in the dudes out there listening to this, just go check that man out. He is an Adonis. But he's got that weird bird mask on, and he's got like a flogger. So he's like flogging around the room, and you could tell this shit's about to get some S&M shit going on right now. It's about to get wild. So Liz is looking down on Sarah and sees her getting whooped by this S&M dude in the bird mask. So then, god damn it, what is going on? So she's a little girl in the corner where you saw those weird Birdman drawings. And so she turns around and looks at that girl. And you can see the Birdman walk up to her and hand her a bag of marbles and say that he loves her and that she's precious. So you're like, what in the fuck? So I know where the marbles are coming from. I hate group messages. Hope my wife heard that from the other room. Because I'm getting like 900 messages. Her and her whole family just like, hey, can we say 712 things to each other at one time? I'd love to do that. So that's what's going on with my phone. It's awesome. And so that happens. Liz goes to the bedroom again and sees Sarah. And she confesses that the brothel owner killed her. So Sarah is attacking Liz. Liz hides in the bedroom. So shit's going off. She realizes shit's going down. She's like, what the fuck's happening here? And so she finds the kid. She finds the marbles. She just watches a weird sex show. She runs downstairs. Sarah starts attacking her. She fucking hides. Now, she gets in the bedroom. You hear Don coughing. And his body is just cut to fuck. He has obliterated himself. Trying to get those marbles out of his body. So, as she walks out, he hugs him. And he confesses to fucking Sarah and asks Liz for forgiveness. But Liz refuses. So as soon as he's like, let me love you, I love you, I'll change. Sarah's like, or Liz is like, no, fuck you, I'm out. I've seen some weird shit. There's dudes in top hats. There's a bird mask man in there with very symmetrical pecs. I might go try to have a thing with him. Who knows? And I can hear my dogs. They're doing dog shit. And then she's like, I'm sorry, bitch. And she's like, fuck you. So he then slits his own head open and pulls and rips himself in half. And Sarah comes out, super bloody and gory. So Sarah is inside of him. Super fucking awesome practical effect. Dude, he just slits himself in half and she pours out of him. And it looked so goddamn gruesome and so goddamn cool. So Sarah comes out from inside his body and tells her it was a trick and a test. And said, wow, Liz, I didn't think you were going to make this one. And it was... It was pretty fucking... So now you're sitting there like, what in the fuck? But she's like, it was a test. So she allows Liz to leave the house. And it's for... Because she was strong against the will of the man, right? So Liz runs downstairs. And she's like, I'm getting out of this fucking house. And she sees this weird effect where these fingers start coming out of the sockets. It looked really cool. And that deformed girl pulls herself out of this house. Like a baby being birthed. It's kind of symbolic because she's pregnant. And there's water coming out the sockets. So my first thought was like, oh shit, the water's breaking. And then, yep, here come these fingers and this weird deformed girl. The one that had the split head earlier, she comes out the walls. So now Liz goes fucking ape shit on this bitch. And she decides to fucking kill her. And that's what she decides is the best route of option. Which I would say would have ran out the fucking house. But she decided instead... to do this. She just walked up and... that chick, right? So fucking smash the shit out of that bitch. And now you're like, well, there's a bloody pulp there. So, yeah. Kills that fucking deformed girl. Liz leaves. And she finds the pastor from across the street. And explains... The pastor tells her all this symbology. That's not the fucking... That I just fucking quoted Boondock Saints, but where he fucks it up. Symbolism. So she goes to Ellie, the preacher, and she says, look, this is how I told, it's about how people choose to enter and face their actions. Okay. That's the, you got to be able to face your actions. You got to be okay with what happens. People are going to do what they're going to do. You can't control fucking people. Some people are going to be shitty. Some people are going to be good. You must choose and face your own actions. So Liz decides to stay in the house and lift the curse by finding Sarah's body and giving it a proper burial, which I didn't necessarily see why that had to happen. Didn't make too much sense because they never touched on that she had to do that. But regardless, she gives Sarah a proper burial. So 6 months later, she's got her baby and Liz is living in that house, which I get that the symbology of that movie is, look, the house is kind of like... a metaphor for your inner and your life. Like, this is you, your life. People are going to do what they're going to do, such as Phil Brooks cheating and cutting himself. And look, he didn't pass the test. The test was she's going to come seduce him. And the whole point was this house tests your relationship. That's why some couples make it and some don't. And she said, hey, I'm going to fuck you. And he did. And then not only did he fuck her, he smashed her with a hammer. So he failed the test. Hence why he had to die. Now, the woman's test was, yo, don't forgive your husband. You've already forgiven him for being a crooked lawyer. He's already cheated on you and you forgave him. Don't forgive him again. Quit making yourself have these scars and brutalizing yourself. So she, when she says, no, I'm not taking you back, he fucking, that's whenever she comes out and says, you passed the test. So she's like, I'm going to live in this house because I've passed the test. And I get it. And you're not supposed to show fear in it. But also, I'd fucking leave that house because a lot of shit just happened there. At least PTSD-wise, you're fucked. So get out that house, you know? 6 months later, she got her kid. And she's got her baby in the crib. And she walks out the room to put the baby down for a nap. And these marbles just start falling from the ceiling. Right from the ceiling, right onto the baby. Slowly, and the baby's laughing. And then you see Don, or CM Punk, pop his face over the grate. And he waves to her and says, hey, babe, I love you. Or whatever her name was. Daddy loves you. And the movie ends. So now it's kind of rolling on that now this baby's going to have to make the choice. Is she going to accept the marbles or not accept the marbles with her life? And so on and so forth. So fuck this house. She shouldn't have lived in it. That's the movie. Fantastic. All in all, I really enjoyed this movie. The effects were insane. I really can't get over it. The aesthetics were insane. The lighting. CM Punk did such a good job. He was a lot better than I thought he was going to be. I was expecting some kind of like cheap thrown in performance, maybe not necessarily on his own accord, but because he's just not used to film. But then you think about it, wrestling is just acting. He did a great job, especially in scenes where he had to get angry. He did phenomenal. Like you couldn't even, in other parts, you could kind of see little lapses, but in those scenes, he was fantastic. Amazing directing choice for his first movie. It was a great Travis Stevens. Fantastic. I really enjoyed this movie. I want to look at the production company, Queensberry Pictures, see what else they got. Music, that was a really cool choice with what they did. All the actors did great. So you had CM Punk as Don, Tristy Kelly Dunn as Liz Koch, Sarah Brooks as Sarah, Alyssa Dowling as Sadie. Yeah. So lots of good things in this movie. I really enjoyed it. I recommend watching it, especially if you like that. I assume if you listen to this point, you've already seen it. I fucking enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm also like the best critic to have because I enjoy most things. Everything I watch is almost a 10, unless it's something I don't like and it's a 0. Like there's very middle ground with me where I'm like, well, I'd work on this and I'd critique that and they should have tweaked. I'm not a big critique guy. I just like shit. So that can't really give ratings on 1 to 10s because I'll say this is a 10 out of 10. Next movie I do will be a 10 out of 10. Everything else will be... I'm not good at critiquing as far as ranking on numbers. Now, once I get... here, I'll just give out... That was Girl on the Third Floor. Let me give out the sketch for the upcoming days because I plan on doing this each Friday. So next Friday, I'm going to cover The Clover Hitch Killer, which was crazy, and I thoroughly enjoyed that movie. And then the month of March, dude... is going to be on and it's on and popping, yo, because we're doing every Nightmare on Elm Street for the month of March. So the first 3 weeks, cover them. The last episode of the month, dude, we are breaking down and I'm rating them 1 to 10 where I like them. My favorite to my least favorite. And there's going to be some, again, I can't rank 1 to 10. I can try for those movies because obviously you look at 1, that would be like the top of the scale or pretty close. And then you start getting into like, Dream Master and shit, and you're like, those are rough. But we're going to talk about all of them, man. So if you like Nightmare on Elm Street, you're going to love March. If you don't, then you probably won't listen to a single episode. But that's my plan. And then after that, the month of April, because there's 5 weeks in it, dude, I want to do Friday the 13th trilogy. Franchise. That's what I want to do. And then after that, I'll start going into different things, different directors, different movies, different whatever, dude, whatever y'all suggest. And then eventually I'll go into B-movies and movies that suck. But that's the plan. Every Friday I talk about new horror movies. So next week, you got Clover Hitch Killer. Week after that, we kick off Nightmare on Elm Street, breaking down the franchise that I'm very excited for. And that should be a really fun time, which means I get to make my wife sit and watch all of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. And that's going to be horrible for her. Because she will probably stop enjoying it around part 3. Which most people do, but she might. It's a weird, like, you like them, but you don't, you know? Like, how critical do you want to be? Anyway, we're going on too long. That's going to be the show. I hope y'all really enjoyed it. Give me some feedback if I should keep doing this or not. My dogs are awake, so I got to go deal with them because I hear them running around. so much pitter patter on the floors. It's ridiculous. I want to start rolling marbles around and see what's up. So appreciate y'all listening. I hope y'all enjoyed this segment. If you did, let me know. If you didn't, let me know. I'm still probably going to do it either way. So that's fine. But if you didn't like it, you can tell me what to fix about it or whatever the case may be. Next week, Clover Hitch Killer. That's what I'm going to talk about. This week was Girl on the Third Floor. Go fucking watch it, dude. It was fantastic. Thank y'all for the support. Go to my Discord. It's linked down below. You can do all things MMA chats down there. General chats. If y'all want me to start a horror movie chat down there, I will. But you just got to let me know. All my contact info is down there. Everything, man. I'm going to try to get some interviews on this. I'd love to interview some of these directors and shit. That would be awesome. But thank y'all for the support. I really appreciate it. I love y'all. Y'all are the best fans I could possibly ever ask for. Peace.